At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on TheChairShot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, September 19th, 2024. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. Got a pretty big show lined up tonight. We also have a special guest with us, going to go around the room like I always do and introduce this cast of characters, starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9. He is Bucky's tag team partner and a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how's your week, man?
Doing pretty well. I'm excited to be here once again.
Well, we're glad to have you, as always. And from the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is Ray Cash's daddy, and he is the man with the golden shovel. Mr. Rob, sir, how you doing, bud?
Okay, we've had sick children this week.
Oh, no. It's going around, Bubba. It's start of school. They bring everything home.
Yeah.
Yeah, school is a petri dish.
Absolutely.
God. Well, as I said, we are not alone, and I'm going to butcher his intro because he is a DWI guy. Port Charles Tunney usually does his intro. He is, again, like I said, from the DWI. He also does written pieces for the network. He is the trivia trickster, as I said. I was going to fuck that up, and I knew it. He is the phenomenal AJ Velez. AJ, sir, welcome back to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I was told that the DWI wouldn't be going up this week, so I'm like, well, I'm a little bored. Well, I wonder what those guys over at Mindless Wrestling are doing. Commissioner Gordon put up the bat signal, and you guys answered.
The pod cave signal went up, and we answered. We are here. We actually have quite a bit going on. We've got a bit of a loaded show here tonight. We're going to do two watch-alongs, but I'm going to start the show with something a little bit different. Before I get into that, I am DJ, the man with the holy and award-winning and holy beard. God, I'm screwing up left and right. This is a terrible intro tonight. Terrible, but at least I hit record. So we're gonna soldier through this thing. Got a big show lined up tonight. Like I said, we have two watch-alongs. We're going to go all the way back to In Your House back in the 90s, and then we are going to come forward to Hell in the Cell. We'll get into those a little bit later. But I wanted to kick off the show doing something a little bit different this week. Ran this idea past the guys. It's not particularly original, but I thought it might be kind of fun. I'm calling it Smash or Trash. And basically what I've done is I've picked 10 food items, and I'm going to go in like a little around the room and then backwards the other way and ask the guys. I've got different food items that are going to tell me if this is something they'll eat or if they'll throw it straight in the trash. I tried to find items that there was like no gray area on. You like either really like them or you don't like them at all for like definitive answers, because I don't want anybody to go, well, maybe. No, you can eat it or you're not. That's the answer. That's what we're doing here. Okay. So right. I'm going to start off with Rob, and we're going to start off a little bit here with appetizers. Okay. Rob, smash or trash? Spinach dip.
Trash.
Trash? Okay. Oh. Rob, trash with the spinach dip. Jason, spinach dip.
Trash.
Oh, you guys are killing me. AJ.
Smash. I love spinach dip.
Oh, I do too. Okay, so that's 2 for 2 on spinach dip. We are good there. This one, depending on your taste, may or may not be an appetizer. AJ, chili. Smash or trash?
For me, it's smash, but it's also very situational, where I'll eat it, but it's not like my go-to.
Okay. Does it depend on who made it or where you get it from?
Yeah,
or...
mainly.
Okay. All right. Jason, chili, smash or trash?
Smash. I will probably make a face but still enjoy it if there's an abundance of beans, but other than that, smash.
Okay. Rob?
What should I say again now? Which one?
It's chili. Just regular old bean and meat chili.
That's right.
Trash. Okay, I grew up eating chili. If you'd asked me 30 years ago, I probably would have said trash, but now I love me some chili. Chili is 3 smash and 1 trash. All right, let's see what else. What was that?
I said I hope they're playing along at home.
I hope they are, too. I'd sure like some people's answers. If you want to throw me what your answer is to any of these, you can find me on the app formerly known as Twitter, at The Mindless Pod. I'd love to hear from you.
And if one of us offends you with our takes, you know, I'm at Jedi Fett and Rob.
And if you're really super offended by this show, please look up at PC Tunney. He'd love to hear from you.
Without a doubt. He would love the mail.
Absolutely. All right, back to Rob here. Green bean casserole.
Yeah.
Jesus, Rob is 0-for-3 tonight. Jason, green bean casserole.
Trash.
Trash?
Trash.
Trash, okay. All right, AJ.
Trash for me as well.
Wow, no love for green bean casserole. I'm the only one of the bunch. I will smash that stuff, man. I love it. All right, this one I went back and forth on, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there because I know how I feel. AJ, raw tomatoes. Not soup, not sauces, just plain old raw tomatoes.
Smash, when you come from the state that's known as the Garden State and the tomatoes are ripe and fresh, yeah, I will eat a good tomato. I'd even put tuna fish in the center of it too, so smash.
Okay, all right. Jason.
My mother could eat tomatoes like they were an apple. And it was the most disgusting thing I ever witnessed. One of the most disgusting things she ever did. So absolutely trash.
Okay. Robert, raw tomatoes.
Okay, I liked diced tomatoes being added to something. But you talking about just like grabbing a tomato and just eating it?
Yeah.
Like a slice of tomato. Just chop.
Just right off the vine.
Hell no.
Okay. So I'm right there with Rob and Jason. Tomatoes are like, as my girlfriend likes to say, tomatoes are unfinished. They're all gooey and just yucky on the inside. They're an unfinished food. That's going to be 1 smash and 3 trashes for raw tomatoes. Sorry, AJ, you're out on that one.
No, that's fine.
Raw tomatoes can be wrapped in a cocoon and come out as many different beautiful butterflies.
Yes. You put tomatoes in things and I'm cool, but that raw and that... I won't even put them on like a hamburger or anything. I can't do it.
Like I said, I'm not saying raw, but if you ever get the opportunity and you're like, maybe I'll just have like a little thing for a protein, cut the top off of a tomato, scoop it all out like the innards, put tuna fish in it, and then eat it that way, and it's perfect. I don't know why, but it's good.
Okay, that actually doesn't sound horrible. Sticking
Jason
with
gags.
Jason's over there choking himself out. That's hilarious. Yeah,
it's also, if you have tuna on there, it is absolute trash.
See, I didn't even think about tuna fish. There's a reason for that, though. Okay, sticking with side items and going back to Rob, candied yams.
They're okay.
They're okay? Okay, so that's a smash from Rob. Jason?
Smash.
Smash, okay. All right. Two. AJ, smash.
Yeah, I'd eat those.
I'm the odd man out here. I won't touch them. I won't eat those. I won't eat those marshmallow sweet potato things that they serve at Thanksgiving. No, thank you. And I don't want to hear, oh, you haven't had mine. I've had them all. They're all going straight to the trash. Don't put them on my plate.
See, at least you tried it, at least.
You haven't had my dearly departed mother's.
Sir, it doesn't matter. No offense to your lovely mother. No, no offense at all. Looking up to heaven. No.
Do not want.
Fair. I was her pickiest eater, so.
Oh, God. All right, getting into what could be considered main courses, we're going to start off a little easy here. AJ Balazs, bologna sandwiches.
Trash. I don't like to taste bologna.
Okay, trash from AJ. Jason.
Lots of other cold cuts you can get me on. Not bologna. Trash.
All right, trash there. Rob, he's already making the face.
Bologna is bologna. Get that shit out of here.
Yeah, okay.
That's the other part of the hot dog for a reason.
Exactly. And it's the trash of the hot dog, guys. Think about that for a second.
And that's pretty bad because hot dogs are already lips and assholes.
There you go.
Exactly.
Also, yeah, if you guys are finding out, I've learned in my travels with Rob that Rob is actually a pickier eater than me.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm going to be the odd man out here. I don't mind a bologna sandwich once. Not that I eat them a whole lot, but once in a while, if it's really good deli meat, I'll eat a bologna sandwich. All right. Now, this one may be a little ambiguous, but I'm going to stick with the canned Sloppy Joes, the canned manwich, not like your Aunt Esther's homemade Sloppy Joe that probably tastes really good. I'm talking about the canned manwich Sloppy Joe. I think, AJ, you were next.
I went last.
You're right, okay, then Rob, one, you're first. Rob.
Finally, double thumbs up.
Oh, okay. All right. So Rob is a yes with Sloppy Joes. Okay. Jason.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. AJ.
Double thumbs up, just like Rob. I love me some Sloppy Joes.
Oh, man, I'm the odd man out here. I hate that shit. Oh, my God.
We're going to get one unanimous here somehow.
I doubt it because I'm coming into some really – there may be one that's unanimous, maybe.
Can we shift the goalposts here? Can we all agree that, like, a good, well-made, homemade Sloppy Joe is awesome?
Oh, I've had homemade Sloppy Joe that is killer.
Right. But, okay. And, like, it's strictly in the manwich category. I'm a reluctant yes. Like, yeah, if you put it in front of me and that's what I'm eating, okay, but
– yeah. It was put in front of me a lot as a kid, and man, honest to God, when I would come home and ask my mom what's for dinner, and she would say Sloppy Joe, I would try to fake some kind of stomach thing just to get out of eating. I would be like, ah, my stomach doesn't feel good. I don't care. You're eating it anyway.
That was me, but with chili, because my grandfather, for me and the IWC War Chief Andrew Balazs, go check him out on Twix, every other meal would have the side of, like, baked beans or just straight up chili, and we're just like, oh God, not again.
My dad was big on, do you guys ever eat pork and beans?
Yes.
Oh my God, I hated pork and beans. My dad, he never cooked them. And right out of the can, right into a big bowl, and you would scoop it out of the cold ass pork and beans.
I know, man.
It was terrible.
Pork and beans. Yeah.
Anyway, that being said, I guess you figured out by now, Sloppy Joes are a no for me, man. Absolutely not. All right, so we are up to number 9 now, the last of the entrees. AJ, I know you are next. I'm back in rotation. Sushi.
I love it. Thumbs up, smash.
All right, we've got one for sushi.
Man, I already see Rob's face turning.
I couldn't eat it with any regularity, but again, you put it in front of me, sure.
Okay, so we've got 3 for sushi and 1 absolutely vehement no. Sushi's going right in the trash from Rob. Is that what I'm getting from that look, sir?
Yeah, sushi. Okay. Come
on,
embrace
your inner. As I heard growing up, fish should not be raw when eating it.
Oh, no, man, I will tear some sushi up. Oh, you don't have to even like twist my arm. Do you want? Yes, I want sushi. When my ex-wife was pregnant with the twins, she craved vegetable tempura. That was her craving. It was like the only craving she had was vegetable tempura. So like every Friday she would message me, and I knew it got to the point where I'm like, I know what the text message is about. Mm-hmm. I had sushi every week for like 9 months. It was awesome. It was like the greatest time ever.
See, they did something dumb. Like, it's like a few blocks away, but there is an all-you-can-eat sushi place here in Utah, and I'm just like, my girlfriend and I went there once, and I'm just like, I got 14 rolls, but I don't know if I can finish it. Hey, at least there's leftovers, right?
Yep. We used to have one here. It didn't last for, it lasted maybe 4 or 5 years. I think COVID killed it. Because after COVID, it turned into a really good burrito and margarita place that unfortunately closed down about 6 or 8 months ago as well. So nothing in that little plaza seems to last. But yeah, we have one of those little all-you-can-eat sushi places, and it was pretty good.
AJ, is Chuck-O-Rama still around?
I'd have to double check on that. Let me get back.
All right. Last but not least, we have done appetizers. We've done main course. Let's do dessert. This is our last piece. Rob is first. That's right here. Rob, cheesecake, smash or trash?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yes. All right. Jason?
As long as we don't have any fruit jam or fruit glaze or whatever, if you have actual frozen fruit in there, let's go. And yes, cheesecake, yes.
Jason, I'm there with you. AJ?
Used to be the cake for me and my brother for our birthdays, so definitely smash. Love me some cheesecake.
Absolutely, and I make 4 on that one. I'm with Jason, though. I don't like the fruit glaze. I'm not big on fruit glazes.
Yep, you guys know me. I'll take fruit any way you give it to me, fruit-flavored candy, actual fruit, but jam, glaze, liquid, I can't do it.
Yeah, no. Like,
gel.
If you're going to put fruit on it, at least put it, like, on top of it.
Right.
But if it's just, like, a glaze on it, like, no, thank you.
I can deal with, like, fresh strawberries. Like, if you take strawberries and cut them into, like, little slices or something and lay it across, I'm good with that.
Yep.
But don't give me the jellies, the jams, the goo, none of that shit. It's nasty.
Although the marble cheesecakes that have the chocolate on top of it, chef's kiss.
Or, like,
now
the dulce de leche cheesecake or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff.
That or, I know, God forbid I mentioned Cheesecake Factory for some people. Cheesecake Factory used to have a Reese's cheesecake.
Oh, yeah.
And that
was
to die for.
That was good stuff, man. Hey, I don't mind Cheesecake Factory. It's like, what's the place in New York City? Not Nathan's. Nathan's is hot dog. Junior's. Everybody that travels to New York City, I got to stop at Junior's. I got to go to Junior's. You live in New York City, you don't eat Junior's.
Right.
It's like a weird territorial thing.
There's like a weird thing with that tri-state area where it's like if you need a cheesesteak, you got to go to Geno's in Pennsylvania. If you need cheesecake, go to Junior's in New York. And then for New Jersey, it's if you want a good pizza, go to Nomad's.
Okay. Yeah, it's like one of those territorial things. But again,
it's like
the people
weirdly territorial.
Visiting. The people that live there, like I said, in New York City, the people that live there will not go to Junior's for cheesecake. They'll go to like Brooklyn or something and find a little bakery or a deli or something and eat cheesecake from there.
Been open for 300 years or whatever.
Pretty much. I tell you what though, the best piece of baklava I ever had was from a little bakery in Brooklyn. Oh, so good.
Yeah, they have some baklava in New Jersey too. I know Andrew gets it delivered every now and again and he's just like, no, you got to try it. And I'm like, fine, I'll try it. It's like, all right, fine, whatever. It sounds weird, but I tasted it. Best thing I've ever had for a
baklava. Oh, God, baklava is so good. Man, it's one of my favorite desserts.
Also, Jason, Chuck-O-Rama is still open.
God,
if you visit Utah again.
Well, I'm definitely going to hit that up. I'm going to hit you up, too, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Well, guys, that was actually a lot of fun. I was a little worried about how that was going to play out, but I had a lot of fun with that one.
That was fun.
So if it's well received and we get any feedback on it, maybe we'll do that again in future episodes. We'll change the topic and the title up a little bit and see what happens. But for now, let's get back into the wrestling. This is a wrestling podcast. We don't come here to talk food and alcohol and desserts and all that other stuff, although it was a nice little side trip. We're going to go to commercial, and when we come back, we are going to be watching In Your House Final Four, and I'll get into what that one is all about when we come back. Before we go to commercial, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the T-shirts that are available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go over there, check one out, pick one up. The holidays are coming. Start getting your Christmas list together. Your holiday shopping is getting started pretty soon. Get yourselves a T-shirt. Get your family, get your friends a T-shirt. The starving artists on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick one up. All right. We are going to commercial. When we get back, we are doing our first watch along of the night.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back. Remember, you're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. Again, you can find us on thechairshot.com and anywhere that you listen to your favorite podcasts. We're doing our first watch of the long of the night, and this is going way, way back to the days of WWE In Your House, and In Your House was the precursor to what became monthly pay-per-views. Prior to that, we had the Big Four, you know, obviously Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. For a couple of years, they picked up, and it was the Big Five. And if you want to go check out the Big Five project, as I get a little shameless plug for me, Dave and Tunney, you can find that on thechairshot.com. Well, we are currently going through the year of 1994, talking about the Big Five projects. But there came a point where five wasn't enough. Vince toyed with the idea of going to monthly pay-per-views. And before we got there, this is what we did. And the little In Your House things weren't full 2 and 3 hour events. They started off as like an hour and a half, hour and 45, just under 2 hours. It was a fun little thing. They were, you know, generally cheaper than WrestleMania and the Big Four. I think those at the time, those ran, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, if you ever paid for one, $25 maybe?
I think they were, yeah. I think the in-house ones were cheaper. That was kind of the point of it, you know, that having smaller events in between the bigger ones and not charging as much money.
Right. It was a bit cheaper than the other ones. This one in particular is called the Final Four. And again, it kind of played along with the Final Four for the NCAA tournament, wasn't it? I think that was what they were going with. It was the theme for the NCAA tournament. It kind of came out about the same time. And basically what's going on here is you have the WWF title is vacant. It had previously been held by Shawn Michaels. And this was, if I'm not mistaken, right around the time he lost his smile.
Yes.
He relinquished the title. So the title is vacant at this particular juncture. Vince McMahon had a brilliant idea. We're going to have a fatal four-way match, a no-holds-barred match with Bret the Hitman Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Vader, and The Undertaker. So they had this match. It's a really, really good match as I remember it. Vader really showed up and showed out here. In my opinion, this is probably Vader's best WWE outing, and this match kind of spotlights what they could have done with him, and just Vince never caught on with it. I did spare you guys, because this is kind of a long match, I did spare you guys the entrances because, like I told the boys, one of them is The Undertaker, and that's just way too long. But basically, pull this up on WWE In Your House. Again, it is Final Four. That is Season 3, Episode 1. If you need to pause this podcast, go ahead. The timestamp is 1 hour, 16 minutes, and 15 seconds. Gentlemen, are we ready?
Yes.
All right. We are going to get this thing rolling here in T-3, 2, 1, and go. All right. So we've got all four guys in the ring now.
Yeah.
And I think at this point is when they were also kind of teasing the eventual heel turn from Bret Hart. Because in some of the pre-packaged stuff at the beginning of this event, they show him kind of attacking Vince McMahon and doing some kind of heelish things, but they hadn't gone full heel yet. Bret and Austin are still feuding.
I like the fact that even if it's easy, heel or face, Bret will still give you the sunglasses.
Yep, he never quit. I think at some point he probably did, but yeah.
Hold on there. I I have a distinct memory. This is one of my earliest wrestling memories of Brett coming to the ring. It was like, it had to be like Saturday Night Main Event or something. It was on regular television. And he came to the ring and he was about to give him to the kid. And I think he was a heel, or he really hated the guy he was in the ring with, because he snapped him in half. So he would not always
do that.
I don't even remember that. Yeah.
I don't remember that at all. Yeah.
I remember we just watched again on the Big Five project, Bret Hart versus Owen Hart, and Owen snaps them in half because Owen comes to the ring. He's feuding with Bret at this point. And as a mockery of Bret Hart's sunglasses thing, Owen wears a pair. And then right before they announce Bret coming out, Owen rips them in half. That's the only thing I remember.
Yeah, which makes sense, because I think that was around the
at the time. Because I remember, again, the memory is super foggy, but it just hit me like a train. He said something to the camera like, "Oh, that's going to be you. That's going to be you." As he's like snapping them in half. Anyway, sorry.
I have no memory of that.
Yeah. So I was about to say, Austin, I do remember Owen doing that.
Yeah, Owen did it for sure. So they've paired off now. You've got Undertaker and Vader, you know, pummeling each other, and then you've got Austin and Brett, you know, keeping their feud going in the ring now. Vader and Undertaker on the outside.
I swear, more heels need to utilize the eye rake with the ropes. Like, it's some, it's the most fundamental crap that you miss, like a back rake or an eye rake or just dragging the person's head along the top rope. It's just, it's so good heel work that it's, you don't see it often anymore.
I agree with you. It's one of my, it was one of my favorite heel tactics.
Yeah.
Vader's got a chair. He's going to go try to kill the Undertaker with it. And Vader in the face.
Jesus.
And I think Vader's cut. Yep. Vader's cut already. We are 2 minutes into this match. Vader's bleeding.
Steve's got to bleed by the end of this, right?
I think Vader was the only one who bled in this, if I remember correctly.
Oh,
well, we're going to find out.
I never watched this match.
You've never seen this?
Oh.
Oh, this is good. This is a good one.
Vader did not learn how to do that, you know, get thrown into the stairs. He did not learn how to do that at the Performance Center.
No, he did not.
Broke his wrist.
Vader was like, you put your head first into everything, always.
Right, break your fall with your hands.
Yeah. I mean, it was the 90s. What do you expect? We still had unprotected chair shots, technically.
Yeah. Right.
Where we remind you to always use your head, by the way.
Yes.
Jeez.
He's got Steve on Austin. Yep.
They don't lay up on the strikes, huh?
No, they don't. Austin was always smash mouth, and Brett could give as well as take.
Yeah. And Vader, of course, was notorious for being stiff.
Yeah.
And Undertaker's like, well, if I'm in the ring with these guys, there's a certain level I'm going to hit.
Yep.
Yep, of course.
So, yeah, so everybody was kind of
putting
the concrete behind things.
And
we're not quite to locker room leader Taker yet, but you definitely know that he has that presence of, he knows what he's doing, don't mess with him.
Right.
Because, I mean, the story is that he was waiting in the back for Sean at the end of the next year when Austin beat him in case Sean didn't play ball.
Yep, for 14, yeah. He had his hands taped up. He was waiting in Gorilla, and then the next thing you know, it's like, you better do this match or else.
Yeah, I don't care how tough you think you are. If a guy the size of the Undertaker says, look, this is what you're doing, this is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't look like he can't fight.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't try him.
The only one who probably, you know, could actually tell him what to do in the ring was Brock.
Well,
even then they had a respect for each other.
Oh, yeah, but by then, you know, Taker was, you know, the guy 10 times over.
Look at Vader's eye, man.
Oh man, wow.
Oh God.
Oh yeah.
It looks like my eye currently right now.
And it can't, and the mask, it can't help. I mean.
Nah.
No.
Because that blood gets trapped in there.
Ugh.
So if you're new to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast watch-alongs, Rob and I have this thing that we like to do with Jason. We like to find good blood fests and try and gross him out. And while this isn't the most gratuitous one we could find.
There's always a moment.
There is.
Even if, you know, everyone's not covered in blood by the end, there's always someone where a limb goes, at the very least, a limb goes the way it's not supposed to. Or, you know, somebody gets butt. Oh, my God, Vader, come on.
But I say you should have him watch Great American Bash 2005 with JBL and Eddie Guerrero then.
Oh God, that one was a
no thanks. Yeah,
that one was a bloodfest.
Yeah, that one and Jericho and Michaels had a nasty one.
Oh no!
Back in 2008 for the World Heavyweight.
Yeah.
Oh. If they ever do a dog collar match, we gotta watch the Piper Valentine dog collar match from Starrcade 83. That one was real.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that one was real bloody.
Yeah. God. I think Piper was bleeding out of the ear at one point. It was bad.
Vader is just getting destroyed, man.
Man.
I just love how Vader just took that chair, like the, not the chair shot, the staircase.
The stairs.
And then just goes back to the offense. Like, congratulations, you pissed him off. Welcome to WCW.
That man cannot see.
Oh, he can't. Yeah,
no, I mean, the man had his eye poked out, basically.
If you ever seen the video from that match, that's pretty gross.
Yeah, his eye legitimately went out of the socket, and he pushed it back in, and it was completely closed.
Yep.
Thank you, AJ.
No problem. Happy to help.
In Stan Hansen's defense, he couldn't see shit, so.
Yeah.
Stan Hansen was farsighted as hell. Whenever anyone said the Western Lariat was a the stiffest move they ever took, there's a reason why.
Because he couldn't see you. Austin is wearing Vader out with something.
Yeah, what is he wearing him out with? Like, I saw him throw him into the timekeeper's area, but
they're just wailing on each other. And this poor tech guy is over here just huddled up in the corner.
Yeah, but gotta rock that skullet though.
Oh God. Ugh.
Oh.
That's so gross.
Bad.
Again, not the worst injury he's ever had in his wrestling career.
So Vader's like, I'm done beating up on Austin. I'm going to beat up on Bret Hart for a little while.
Let me pull this guy Austin over, even though you're about to do a leg drop. Crotching Austin on the top rope.
Vader's dragging Bret back to the back. Get him away from the ring.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is this the very first Fatal 4-Way match?
I believe it may be. In WWE history, I believe so.
Jeez, that eye. Holy crap.
Yeah, that is nasty. It's Vader came into WWE about 2 years too early. Vince wasn't ready for the type of aggression and violence that Vader brought in. I think if they had brought Vader in by like maybe late 97, early 98, we're having a much different discussion about his WWF career.
Oh, without a doubt. You don't have Shawn just stepping on him and just berating him in the ring. You have Vader as like at least a three-time WWF champion.
Absolutely. That's probably one of the dumbest things Vince ever did with Vader or with anybody really was have Vader like not beat Shawn Michaels clean.
I mean, because look, they had the model right there with the way he beat Sting. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you could just run that back and run almost the same match.
There's the man.
Oh yeah.
There's the man.
Sid, rest in peace, Psycho Sid. But watch
Vader is putting a sharpshooter on Bret Hart, or he's trying to.
This is one of the most magical things I've seen in wrestling.
Someone putting the sharpshooter on Bret.
Austin's just laying in the boots.
360 to scoop the dude around and finally lock it in.
That was great.
That's the only takeaway that I'll have for the match, where it's like, you couldn't have had the sharpshooter in for a little bit longer before, like, stomping his back in.
Well, it's just like, the size differential made it like, he had to spin him to, like, actually lock it in.
They were trying to do it ringside with two other guys fighting next to him, so there's no room to turn the move over.
Yeah.
So, and you know, Vader just looks awkward as hell trying to do it.
They got it done, though, hey.
Yeah, I mean, he did better than Sean in the Montreal Screwjob. Sean almost put it on the wrong way until Brett told him how to put it on.
Right.
Well, Brett loves to remind everybody about that.
Yeah. I don't know why I knew that. All the frickin' Bret Hart interviews. Yeah, you know, he didn't put it in right. Thanks, yeah, Brett.
Yeah, because you're guaranteed to get that, and then you're guaranteed to get a Bill Goldberg is the worst wrestler ever.
Yep.
He's the one that made sure that my career ended.
Bill Goldberg. Bill Goldberg does everything
it's
awesome.
It's always Bill Goldberg. It's not. Yeah, it's never Goldberg. It's always
Bill
Goldberg.
It's never Goldberg. He has to use his government name.
His full government name.
His social security number, by the way, if you want to know what the worst wrestler is.
Be respectful. Gunther's favorite wrestler, okay?
Oh, that was outstanding when Gunther said that.
Gunther is minted just for that promo.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought for sure he was either going to say himself or he was going to say Sean.
Right.
And then
I thought he was going to say Sean, too, yeah.
No, he went right for the jugular.
Bill Goldberg.
there's the good old Texas pile driver on the Stone Cold from Brett.
Yeah, we're still a time away from Owen breaking his neck.
CTE.
See? Remember, this is, what, 94, right?
I think so.
He's 97.
Yeah, 97.
This is 97?
Yeah, because Austin doesn't come in until 90, like, 96. Late 95.
Because
he wins the King of the Ring,
I think. The King of the Ring, yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Vader salt, but missed.
Undertaker, I'm not going to lay there for that.
Not going to work for me, brother.
Right.
You are about 370 pounds. I am not taking a fucking moonsault.
Hey, man. Someone in this man's probably not a picnic.
I don't know that ever happened. I don't know that Vader and Undertaker ever had a one-on-one, did they?
I don't know.
I don't think they did.
I'm not 100% sure, actually.
I feel like that's a myth.
I know the whole thing back in, Kuwait, I don't remember what year it was exactly, but Taker was the WWF champion, and that's when Vader got arrested.
Oh, yeah. I think they might have had a match there, because
I think they were supposed to have a match, but since Vader got arrested, they had to audible to, like, Kane or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw, like, Undertaker was telling he told the story on that podcast thing he does. I saw a video of it, like, a couple of days ago, and they were on, like, a talk show, and the host said the thing you just don't say, and he said the word fake, and that just flipped the switch on Leon there, and he wasn't trying to do that.
Leon does not take things kindly when you call his profession fake.
No, he protected the business.
Nor do most wrestlers, but... That's why I think one of my favorite things ever from Kevin Nash was is the Terminator an actual robot or is it just the movie? Well, it's just the movie, and it's like, all right, so when a wrestler goes out into the ring, is that fake or is the Terminator fake? And it's like, okay, I see what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a play.
One of those annoying arguments you get tired of having.
It's choreographed, but it's not fake.
I can't even say that it's not choreographed anymore because, hell, I mean, I can point to you a dozen different matches a week that are obviously choreographed. What was that shit Austin just did?
We flipped through.
Austin was some Lucha shit here. But, you know, back in the days when you called it in the ring, because, you know, when I was training, that was one of the things I asked. I was like, okay, because I worked with guys who went to Japan. I'm like, well, okay, so how do you call it in the ring if you're in the ring with somebody who doesn't speak English? You know, it's like, how are we having a match here? And so.
Which we've seen a lot in like recent New Japan where it's like they say their name to like make sure that they go through with it. So like if like for instance like Kenny Omega versus Okada, where all Kenny has to do is just rush at him and just shout Okada, and then that's the cue.
Right. Oh, Vader just low blow, or Brett just low blow Vader.
Oh,
wow!
Right through the uprights, man.
That was a damn good sell, too.
Yeah.
And Austin's doing the same to The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And the good old low blow into the corner post and then mashing the leg into it.
When did Brett start doing the corner figure four? Because, man, that always looked like it hurt like hell.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it was around this time when he started doing it. Like this, I think it was this year when he started doing it.
It was around like 96, 97 when he started doing it. Yeah.
Cause it was more of a heel move, and it was when he started to, you know, turn more heel. Vader's going to set somebody else up for some stuff. Vader has got Brett in a, almost like a yes lock.
Oh, yeah, man.
It looks like more like a, oh God.
Like a cross face?
It looks like a little more like a cross face, but yeah, it's more of an arm bar now that they zoomed out. Yeah.
It's a, I'm blowed up, I gotta find a rest hold.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, focus more Vader's face on like, Austin and Taker.
Yeah.
Take care of the Texans.
Meanwhile, Vader's face looked like roadkill.
God. Again, not the worst injury to his knee. Or not to his knee, to his eye.
Yeah. Yeah, you watch stuff like this, and you know, this is not that this is his best work, but you look at something like this when people start with the, you know, Stone Cold was never any good, and then you show him a match like this, and you're like, oh, yeah, he was.
You know, when he actually could move around, when he had, you know, working knees and everything.
Yeah, and his neck wasn't jacked.
Yeah.
I would love to have seen more stuff with him and Bret Hart. Like, they had that one definitive match, and then I feel like the feud itself just never, because Bret left and went to WCW, and I felt like they had one more definitive match in him, and we never got it.
Yeah, I mean, like after, when Austin was champ, and then having that Austin against heel Brett would have been something else.
No, that would have been money.
Yeah.
I find it funny that these guys keep Royal Rumble eliminating each other from this match.
Yeah.
Like I've seen like half a dozen attempts to throw somebody over the top rope for reasons that I cannot fathom.
But here's the thing. The crowd is popping for it. That's the main thing. Like, the crowd is actually, like, you saw the camera shake when Brett just did it to Austin.
Right. Austin's been eliminated. It's not that kind of match.
Austin's been eliminated. No. Brett did not win the Royal Rumble. And if you want to see that not work out the way that it should have, go watch the Rumble 98, I believe.
Yeah. All right, so they're walking Austin to the back for whatever reason. What happened here?
I don't know.
Huh. Yeah, it's like...
I wonder if it is technically an over-the-top rope.
You know what?
Let's see.
Okay, maybe it was. It's been so long since I've watched this, I completely forgot what the... I didn't realize it was an elimination-style match.
The referee called it for an elimination-style, so...
That is crazy. Because I've seen the guys go for pinfalls. I've seen guys go for submissions. Yeah.
Okay, it was a no DQ match in order to be eliminated. Wrestlers would be pinned, forced to submit, or thrown over the top rope, both feet touching the floor.
Yeah, okay. So
Brett eliminated Stone Cold technically from the match.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that explains why they were both, like, in that precarious position a few minutes ago.
Well, yeah, because I think I saw Vader trying to eliminate The Undertaker, too. I'm like, why is he trying to throw him over the top rope so desperately? Like, what are we doing here?
And Brett and Austin did the, like, I go over, then I scoot under and force you over, and then I scoot under and you over spot a few minutes ago. And I was the camera, I think, was focusing on Vader and Taker. So I was kind of like, I did. What was going on? So now that all makes sense. Maybe we should have watched the end.
Oh, there goes the mask.
Yep, the mask is off.
Like, fuck this, I want to see.
Oh, here we go.
And you know Vader's loving this because this is probably the type of match he's been wanting to have since the day he stepped foot in there. Yeah. And he finally, they put him in a ring with three guys that'll do it with him.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, that's when Paul Bearer had turned on the Undertaker and he was sided with Vader for a while.
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot about that. See, everyone remembers when he turned on him for Kane, but not so much for other people.
For Vader, yeah.
No, because he went with Mankind, I think, and then...
Yeah.
I think Mankind and Vader were briefly a team, weren't they?
Something else.
Something to that effect.
Oh, big superplex.
Oh, boy. And Vader just barely making sure that he rotated perfectly.
Right.
Oh, Vader's face.
Oh.
That face, God.
Wow.
A towel. Wouldn't kill anyone.
Yeah, they didn't do that back then. The WCW's kicking. Well, I can't say the WCW because this is still when they were hokey and everything. Or no, they added a little bit of realism, so never mind.
WCW?
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, during this time period, WCW had a strict no blood policy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because that's how Dustin Rhodes ended up as Gold Dust in WWE.
Hmm.
We covered that match on this show one time. It was him and the Blacktop Bully in a the type of match, but they were in an open air tractor trailer fighting in the back while the truck was driving down the road.
Right, and yeah, I know what match you're talking about.
The match was the shits, and it was heavily edited because both guys knew the match was going to be the shits. So both of them cut themselves open in the match, and Dustin got fired for it.
Yeah.
Damn.
Austin is back out here attacking Bret Hart.
Yep. Oh my. So those two are going to fight. They're probably going to go to the back, so it's going to be between Vader and Taker, but Vader with the saying he's going to do the Vader salt.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
The Undertaker says, I don't think so, and punch him in the balls. Vader's out.
And he's out. Wow.
I mean, so it's Taker and Bret with Stone Cold in the ring, even though he's been eliminated.
Yep.
Yep. This makes sense.
Hey, no disqualification. If someone wants to interfere, someone can interfere.
True.
The crowd is hot for The Undertaker right now.
Yeah.
They want him to win so bad.
I'm pretty sure, doesn't Bret win?
I think he does.
Oh.
I mean, we'll see, but
I don't think I've seen this match since the day it aired.
Oh, wow, so it's been like, what, 27 years? 28?
Something like that. It's been a long-ass time.
Yeah, 27 years, yeah.
Because if it's 97, then yeah, it's a year younger than me.
Austin is bound. Austin hates Bret Hart so much.
Yeah. Now, Taker is one of the best people to listen talk about working now, like on his little podcast thing he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just seen some clips of it here and there, and he's talked about it just, how he set up certain spots and whatnot, and how, like, one thing, like, how later on in his career, instead he wouldn't hit old school anymore. Somebody would always counter it, and that was something he came up with because. He's like, well, people are used to seeing me hit it all the time, and so to switch things up, he would climb up the rope and then use it as a spot to cut me off instead now. But, he explained stuff like that really well.
Yeah.
Go listen to the 6 Feet Under podcast with Taker, and I think the host is, I think his name is Matt, but they do have a lot of them that are out. I think they have their 30th that has Kane on it.
Yeah, that's something I'll have to check out. I've seen little clips of it here and there, and it looks really good. He tells this dude's got stories forever and a day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The only one he was talking about, he was in the ring, and he got pissed off one time, and he forgot he was in there with Haku. And then he said something to him, and then he was like, oh, shit.
Oops.
Uh-oh, not Haku. You don't fuck with the Samoans.
Nope. Sir, whatever you did, just take the L and keep it moving.
I think one of my favorite ones was with Midian back when he was still with the Godwins, so Henry Godwin and Phineas Godwin. And apparently the slop bucket, Midian was talking about that where, and I'm not condoning this at all. I'm saying that right now I'm not condoning what happened before, but about 2 hours before the show started, he had the slop bucket and he said, I don't want anyone messing with this slop bucket that we're going to put on Sunny. So do not put anything in this bucket.
Oh no.
There was everything that you could imagine in that bucket just for Sonny.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
Saying don't put anything in the bucket, you're basically begging people to do it.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's
the show.
Yeah, that's wrestler code for, guys, load this son of a bitch up.
I think he said in about like 30 minutes he came back for the bucket and it was full.
I just caught a bit of Henry Godwin on there, and he was talking about the Hogpen match with Triple H, which, again, is another really – it sounds absolutely ludicrous, but the match was awesome. I don't know if you guys ever saw it.
I've seen it before. It's actually a pretty damn good match for all it's worth. Like, you have a gimmick match, but it was – that right there, you can tell Triple H was the game, like the student of the game and everything, but – that where you could tell it's like, all right, I know what my role is here, and I'm going to take it.
Yeah, and they talk about the spot where Triple H cuts his back wide open, and according to Taker, he's still got the scar from that.
I believe it.
Yeah, it was a pretty nasty gouge. All right, well, that's going to do it for our first watch-along. I hope you guys enjoyed that one. I hope you watched it along with us. That match was a lot of fun. Bader got busted wide open. Jason is probably holding his guts right now, trying to keep his his DiGiorno pizza down.
I severely dislike you guys.
Jason hates our guts. So we are going to go to another commercial break. When we come back, we have got a Hell in the Cell match of Rob's choosing. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We'll be back in a minute.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
And we are back with our second of two watch-alongs. This one is a Hell in a Cell match from 2016. This is a match of Rob the Genius's choosing. So from here, I'm going to let Rob take over and introduce this one.
Okay, so those of you who listen to this show know who my favorite woman wrestler is. And you guys, if you listen to this show, you know that I've been just in a very distraught state of mind this year because she has been out with an injury. And since there is a Hell in a Cell match coming up in a few weeks, yeah, I figured we would do a watch along of some Hell in a Cell match before the show. So I figured, well, why not? Let's do this one. Okay. And, this is from 2016. This is the, Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. This was the first ever women's Hell in a Cell match. And it was also the first time that a women's match main evented a WWE pay-per-view. And so this was Charlotte Flair and Sasha Banks. And I believe you were in the building for this one, weren't you, Jason?
Yes, I was. This was at the TD Garden.
And so this was during the feud that Charlotte and Sasha had in 2016, where they traded the championship back and forth a bunch of times. And they had several Match of the Year candidates that year. And
they did a bunch of women's firsts matches.
Yeah.
Cause the one that came after this was that a first for the last women's?
It might have been the
False Count Anywhere. Excuse me.
The False Count Anywhere. I think they also did no, it was Sasha and Bailey that did the Iron Woman match for the first time ever.
But then Charlotte and Sasha did it. They did one a few months later.
Ooh, there you go.
So. Here we are.
First ever women's Hell in a Cell match.
Yes.
So what's our time, Sam?
2:36:25.
There you go.
Ready?
Deej? Captain?
Who is muted?
I am muted. I'm terrible at this. That is season 8, episode 1 of Hell in the Cell on the Peacock. If you want to watch along with us, if you need to pause, go ahead and do that. The timestamp again is 2:36:25. Gentlemen, we are starting in T-minus 3, 2, 1, and go. And here comes Charlotte.
That's why I specifically asked Rob. I'm like, is it because you missed Charlotte? We need to see the Charlotte entrance.
This is a good one.
It is a good one where she's getting carried out.
That thing, by the way, is called a palanquin.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
See if I recognize any of these guys carrying her, if they're current on-air talent. I don't recognize anybody. Doesn't necessarily mean anything, but...
Yeah, it doesn't mean that they're not there or not, but they might have gotten, like, cut from the performance center or something.
Yeah. Because it was a year, it was in 2015, she, Alexa, and Sasha came out with Triple H.
Yep.
Yeah. God, did that say she's a 4-time women's champion for this match?
Yeah, they traded the title back and forth a few times, and she went from like 0 to 13 championships in like, it felt like in
like
6 months.
Like 2 years? Yeah. I think it was 2 years, but it felt like 6 months.
Yeah, just because she just, every time I turned around, she was champ and she was trading it back and forth with Sasha. It was crazy, crazy time period.
At this point, it was, Sasha could only win the title on pay-per-views, but she would immediately lose it on the Raw after.
Yeah. It goes all the way around, actually. No, she would.
She didn't win it on the pay-per-view. She won it on the Raws.
Yeah. Or, yeah, the other way around, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, there's JoJo.
There she is. Nice. This is when I first started watching, real.
Yeah, because you came back in, what, 2015-ish?
Yeah, this was my first pay-per-view.
Oh, okay.
Were you also chanting, "We want Sasha"?
No, I did a Night of Champions before this, I think. That's what got me, maybe. I don't know. But obviously, yeah, we were going absolutely fucking ballistic for Sasha. And, that'll come through, I think, on the broadcast. And this is a fun entrance, by the way. She hadn't done this. She hadn't done this yet, I don't think.
Yeah, she did the whole
Oh, coming out to
Escalade.
The Escalade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the, with another, you know, probably chaotic wrestlers. That I don't recognize, because I don't recognize them as PC guys.
Whole entrance and everything that she does just speaks to what we were talking about in the private chat earlier. When she's given something to do, she knocks it out of the park. Oh, creatively, on her own, she stinks out loud.
Right. It is what
because
it is.
The boss gimmick and everything that she did with it was, I was so dialed into this. I was full-on rooting for her here.
She did the punching up babyface thing better than most. It wasn't going to last forever, but, man, you know, and obviously because of the, you know, local connection, everything, I latched onto her. But even still, that was fun if you at all, you know, enjoyed this wrestling thing.
I remember when I first started watching her in NXT, like some of the girls, some of the horsewomen that went up, I was like, okay, I dig their in-ring stuff. I knew she was good in the ring. The first couple times I saw the boss gimmick, I was like, what the fuck is this? And then by the third or fourth time, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I'm digging this. Like, this is pretty damn good. This is good stuff. And then I'd say by probably the sixth or seventh time I'd seen her, I'm like, okay, I'm fully invested in this.
Now, see, it's funny because when they all first came up, I was actually more of a Sasha fan, and it was – that was basically during this feud where Charlotte won me over, basically.
Interesting.
Well, because basically she, this is where she proved she was just as good.
True.
You know, I mean, before that, you know, And look, she would tell you herself that when she first got called up, she still didn't know, really didn't know what she was doing. She said that herself.
They are booing Charlotte out of the building.
I mean, to be fair, they are in Boston, where...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were... that's where Mercedes, Monet, Sasha Banks is from.
Somewhere in that massive crowd is my co-host.
Yes, sir. Up in the balcony.
In the balcony?
Yeah.
Oh, they're already jawing at each other.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At the end of this match, there's a, not gonna work for me, brother, but it's not from who you think.
It's not from any of the workers.
No.
Nope.
They imported the piece of furniture from New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, pretty much.
We'll get to that, but that's yeah.
Here's a question for you guys. Do you think they'll ever let the women go to the top of the cage?
Yes.
Because I've read some reports that Charlotte and Sasha wanted to go to the top of the cage on this one, and Vince said no.
I mean, to be fair, even if you're not, you know, even if you just believe in them as workers and you're not being, oh, you're women, you can't go on the top of the cage, whatever.
Oh, and there's a cheap shot.
Yep.
Don't give it away. Don't give everything away in the first one. It's the first Hell in a Cell match. We don't also need to go on top of the cell. We don't also need to, you know, burst through a door. We have a normal Hell in a Cell match.
And to be fair, they didn't have a normal Hell in a Cell match. They had a great Hell in a Cell match without having to go to the top of the cage.
Correct. This match is awesome.
Agreed. I mean, like you said, you don't need to go onto the top, because they didn't go to the top of the cell for Shawn versus Taker. No, they just had the cell. They used the cell properly. It wasn't until Mankind and Taker where they were like, "Yeah, let's do some stunts." So, I could definitely see maybe something involving the Wyatt Six. Maybe if they have a cage match and Nikki Cross goes to the top against Ivy Nile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand Vince or any other booker saying no, because if one of them falls through the cage roof and it's one of the smaller women and, you know, they're not 300 pounds of Mick Foley, you know, cushion taking the bump on the mat there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And unfortunately, through a certain set of optics, it looks a certain way.
Yeah. Right.
So
it's never going to be fair that it is that way, but it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There is such a thing as escalation. You don't have to give away the farm on the first one. I mean, they're kind of outside of the thing. They're doing just fine.
Yeah, and well, now so she's starting to climb here.
I really thought for a minute they were going to do the thing here, but...
Yeah, we all did, too. I was just like, no, man, let's not do this.
Well, and to be fair, even when the dudes do it, like when Seth and Ambrose went up, I had full-on anxiety watching those two dudes at the top of that that cell. Like, it was crazy.
Ooh. Right.
This spot was insane.
Yeah.
I mean...
Also, back when we still had the TVs on the announce tables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, that instead of the monitors.
And look, that was as good as anything on top of the cage. Shoot.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, from what he said, they're wrestling soulmates, these two.
Yeah.
They are.
The way Charlotte caught Sasha coming down for the powerbomb. Or am I ahead of you guys a little bit? Sorry.
No, you're right. We're all in the same spot.
Okay, thank you.
And the bell hasn't... This is before. This is all before.
Yeah, the bell hasn't rang yet.
Like, we officially don't have a match yet.
Powerbombed. Yeah, they haven't called it yet.
Important note, yeah, the match has not actually started.
Yeah, this is still going on.
Sasha's obliterated. Charlotte's all over. Refs are trying to maintain some order here.
She's not going to give up in Boston.
That's right.
Please tell me you tried making that a chant.
No, it doesn't quite roll as a chant. There are plenty of, you know, so let's go Sasha and, you know, all the normal ones.
Right. I was only asking that just because my brother and I went to Battleground 2017 when they had the Punjabi prison match with Orton and, Jinder Mahal, which, no, that was the worst fucking thing that I've ever experienced watching because you couldn't see anything in that match. But
I'm
since the
profoundly jealous of you.
But since the Singh brothers were there and trying to interfere to help Jinder, we were trying to do a Fling the Singh chant, and we got a couple of guys going for it, but it didn't catch on.
Nah. Yeah, and this was at this match. They did such a good job of making you believe that they're going to call this match early before it even gets started.
Right.
You know, Sasha's not going out like that, fellas. Not babyface Sasha Banks.
Which, despite what people say, was actually a damn good character. Like, you didn't need to have her as a heel. She was a good face.
She was an awesome face, man. Like I was saying, she did the punching up babyface thing really, really well. Like, you know, all her "I did it" promos, I'm sitting there like, "Ooh, yeah, you did, kid." Like, what?
Up here comes the stretcher gimmick.
they milked this one.
Oh, they did.
Oh yeah.
Maybe a little too much at this point. I'm like, okay, what are we doing? But at the same time, you're like, okay, they're making you believe it.
Right.
Charlotte saying, give me my title.
Incredible.
Oh, here comes, yep. There's the neck brace, soft collar.
The drama, the theater.
Don't knock the wig off. Don't knock the wig off.
Yeah, this was during that time where she had some serious hair. Both of them had some hair struggles going on during this time.
They did. There were a couple times where Sasha's wig would move. I'm like, oh, honey. honey, what are we doing?
I mean, you can tell just off of, and I'm not insulting her for her looks because she's a very attractive woman, but the fact that the wig would move and it's just like you're revealing way too much forehead, we can tell that's a fake.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell when both of them started.
Nights where it just like wasn't sitting right or whatever like that because, you know, they went crazy with the extensions or something. So.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell when both of them started making more money because they both, you know, got better hair.
Yeah.
They got months of main roster checks and they were like, okay, here we go.
Because Charlotte had pieces of hair coming out, you know, some of those extensions or whatever.
Yeah. Which, I mean, she's getting carried out on the stretcher right now, and you can tell it's like, okay, that's a wig and a half.
Oh, yeah, she's got more forehead than I do right now, and that's terrible. I don't wish that on anybody, man.
Thankfully, the CEO's got her money right now.
Yeah.
What is she right now, the TBS champion for AEW?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, at this point, I think we're doing a little too much.
Just
I totally forgot there was 20 minutes of shenanigans before the match itself actually starts.
Right.
No, we will not be forfeiting anything tonight.
Nope.
As soon as you heard forfeit, he's like, no, we're not. No.
Hell no. And that crowd, to be fair, the crowd erupts for it.
Yeah.
That bitch slept to the EMT. Oh, my God.
The boss, baby.
Close the door. And now, We have a match.
Now the bell rings.
So I wonder if wrestling's favorite uncle counted this before the match or when the bell rang.
Uncle Dave.
Now, technically, we've had two matches.
Technically.
I wonder if he like rated each one with his stars or whether he rated stars for each one and then collectively did like an average. Yeah. Add them both together. This is 8 stars.
Well, it's not in Tokyo, though. No.
That's right.
It'd be 9. Sorry. Yes, six.
No, it's in the TD Garden. 10 stars.
Jason's partial.
Well, yeah, it was there. Exciting.
Oof. That was a great spot.
I was about to say, another great heel spot that we don't see often anymore.
Pulling him into the...
him into the post. Yeah.
Into the ring post like that. Yeah, that was a good spot.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Also, really good monkey flip.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Again, another move that you don't really see utilized often.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Like the monkey flip, the rake with the face on the top rope, and I wish more people would do a Japanese arm drag. Not enough people do a Japanese arm drag. But great. I say that and then people start doing it and then every fucking body will do it.
Hey, as long as you can become the next DDT, who cares? Looking at you, true. Super kick.
It's easy to see, by the way, that this is where Charlotte, like, really had kind of a coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think this was also around the same time where if she did the moonsault and landed it, you knew that she was losing. Like, if for some reason it turned into Ric Flair's whole shtick of if he wears red, he loses. If Charlotte hits the moonsault and she lands it, she's losing.
If she lands on her feet and, you know, then the jig
completes
is up.
Completes the move, yeah.
Of course, you land on her feet, anybody can complain.
Right.
She needs to stop doing the moonshot.
Meanwhile, I've watched Io Sky damn near kill half of her opponents with that moonsault.
Right.
Right.
We can't talk about that, though. We can't bring that up.
No, she's a, and I love Io Sky. I mean, maybe very clear here. This is not me talking shit, but.
I mean,
there's
a reason why her nickname is the Genius of the Sky.
Right.
I mean, I would simply say, look, if you want her to land on people, then you need to go talk to her coworkers and tell them to stand in there and, you know, let her land on them.
Right.
Got a bank statement.
Yeah.
She needs to go back to doing this move.
Yeah, because
it really does. That
finisher she has now stinks.
Oh yeah,
like I absolutely loved the backstabber into the roll into the crossface basically.
Yeah, but she's
still using that shitty gory DDT.
Yes. Yes.
Ricochet, by the way, he's using some sort of like inverted DDT now as a finisher. He ended the match with that, and I was like, oh, that's a new one. And it does not, not working for you, pal. You're not big enough. You're not.
Yeah.
Well, and that's Sasha. She's not tall enough to be using a drop maneuver like that.
No. And then
like the backstabber crossface was probably the best thing that she had going for her because she is the tinier wrestler usually.
Yeah.
So it just worked where she's using a gory special into a DDT where I don't know if you guys watched the Japanese, the New Japan match that she was in where it's like that was the most painful thing that I've ever watched.
Well,
when she broke it out the first time against Kyrie?
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Oh, I mean,
her backstabber is awesome because she will get to the small of that opponent's back with her legs no matter how tall or short they are.
Right.
She, and you know, when she nails it on somebody who's super tall, well, what goes up must come down to come, and when you do a backstabber, it looks awesome.
But yeah, that whole thing now, cause, I mean, it's hard, I mean, her getting somebody on her back in the first place in that position is like, not believable. And then, and then the person has to flip, basically the person taking has to flip over and land it. So
yeah, they have to like perfectly land, like spin in position to get to the DDT from the gory special. So yeah.
By the way, I'm glad we're watching this because, you know, I've been harsh on the Mercedes Money experience.
Yeah, I think we all have.
Come on, man.
This is reminding you that you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just give her bullet points and let the girl rip, man. Don't let her write her own shit, I guess.
Yeah.
And, seriously. Like, she doesn't need much. Just give her something and she'll sink her teeth into it. Ugh. Or if somebody's feeding her the crap she's doing now, then fire everybody.
Yeah, well, launch everybody into the sun.
Honestly, I think it's more her delivery than the actual material. I mean,
yeah, this isn't working, so it's time to it's not working for me anyway. And I'm proving that right now. I'm proving that I'm not just being harsh for no reason. Like, I love Sasha Banks. This match is reminding me of that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. Where she was very technical savvy, and you know, she punched up. She was the perfect baby face to the heel Charlotte, who was bigger, badder, more dominant than everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, and the stories worked. You know, the pedigree versus the indie wrestler, like it worked perfect. So, yeah, wrestling soulmates, and look at these two go. You could tell they love working together.
Oh yeah.
So they trust each other, and that's a big thing.
Well, that's what at the very very beginning of like the power bomb to the outside of the table. Like Charlotte was like reaching up, like I gotcha, you're fine.
Nick, I mean Charlotte's even said at this point they didn't even have to call spots anymore; they just knew what to do.
Right. I was about to say, is this around the time where she quote unquote disowned Rick?
Oh yeah, this was like, actually I was there that night at Raw when she told Rick to take a hike.
One of the several times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember like there was the specific point where she told Rick to take a hike and then she does a release powerbomb and then I'm, the only thing going through my mind is, no wonder Kevin Nash is called Big Daddy Cool. That's the new dad now.
Yeah, this match was brilliant because they tore the house down and they gave both of them plenty of time to cook.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I think, this match is like, 23 minutes long, something like that?
Yeah.
And that's counting the preamble.
Yeah, that's not counting the preamble, yeah.
And like all the spots they're doing make sense. They're not doing, there's nothing gratuitous here.
Right.
Yeah, they're not going above and beyond with the cage. It's like they're using the cage for what it's worth, but they also are using the ring. They're like understanding the surroundings.
Yeah, they're not like they're not stacking up a bunch of chairs or propping up stuff.
No, it's just this is the environment we are professional wrestling in, and I'm going to use it.
Yeah, I mean the cage is meant to contain your violence so you can't escape it, and they're using that to perfection here.
Yeah. Nice meteora.
Yeah.
I would like to have been a fly on the wall in Gorilla while Vince was watching this.
Yeah.
It's such good shit.
And again, they're using the environment perfectly. They're not overdoing it. Oh, that was a knee right to them.
Lay it in, baby.
Base, yeah.
If she didn't actually connect with that knee on that meteor, she did a good job of making it look like she did.
Yeah.
Meteor to the cage.
Jesus.
And again. And also Charlotte just selling this perfectly where it's supposed to be painful. It's supposed to be like the most, it's supposed to be hell.
Yeah.
And she's selling it perfectly by crying out in pain.
And
her dad was the master at that, man.
Yeah.
Ric Flair would make an arm bar seem like you were about to rip it out of the socket.
Yeah.
By the way, being there at this point, we were out for blood. Wanted that girl, her to bust Sasha, Charlotte open so bad.
Now I gotta ask, just because as I mentioned before with the Battleground 2017, I watched the Punjabi prison match, and that was impossible to watch without a screen. Was it hard to watch this when you did go to there, or could you see like everything perfectly from where you were at?
It was perfectly fine. Honestly, there were a few spots where just because of where I was at angle wise with the balcony, cause I was on a corner. There were a few spots where I couldn't exactly perfectly see what was going on in that turnbuckle. But other than that, it was awesome. So the cage doesn't really get in the way now, or at least when it's silver, it doesn't. I can't speak for a red cage on a red, stage under red lights. So
we don't talk about that Hell in a Cell.
No, we don't. We ignore that one.
That Hell in a Cell did not exist.
Ever. As a visual, I like the red cell on TV. Like, to me, it's cool as shit on TV. I couldn't speak for how it translates to a live crowd. I would imagine not well.
Just from the pictures and videos of if you're anything but a high-def camera on television, it was not good.
Yeah, that, like I said, that was my experience with the Punjabi prison match, where it was, we had to keep looking up at like the mini screen above in the Wells Fargo Center, where I'm just like, all right, Randy's gonna do the backbreaker.
The concept of the Punjabi prison match is pretty cool.
It is, but when
the execution has always been horrible.
Yeah, it was like pulling teeth, where it's just like, all right, I gotta make sure I break my neck here to watch this match. A little double knee spot. Yep. Into the chair.
Oof.
Beautiful.
Nice violence.
Also, mind you, they only used one weapon, and it was this one chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, drop toe hold in the double knees in the corner.
And that's one thing I like about this, because now, you know, now they grab 10 chairs, and they grab kendo sticks, and they grab, you know.
Yeah.
And
where, don't get me wrong, no disqualification matches are fun, but when you throw, like, everything, when you basically throw the kitchen sink here, it just kind of dilutes it.
It goes back to something my friend used to say about ECW years ago, and I loved ECW, man. When that came out, I was with ECW like your average AEW stan is with AEW. I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life because it wasn't WWE. And I liked WWE at the time. But my friend used to say, he's like, okay, you got these guys putting each other through 10, 15 tables a night. These ones taking repeated chair shots to the head, kendo sticks, being thrown off balconies, set on fire. And Shane Douglas is beating people clean with a belly-to-belly suplex.
Yep.
Like, what are we doing here, man?
At least when we had... Yeah, this was like, what, 15 minutes in and now we're getting a table?
Yeah.
But at least with like Shane Douglas and Steve Corino when they were the ECW champion, at least it was like, yeah, we're bringing the old school back to the ECW. So it was part of their gimmick.
Yeah.
But they still bled like a mother. Like, like they were red to the face, literally.
It's like, I've always kind of hated just a straight belly to belly. Like, I hated it when Bayley did it. Hated it when Douglas did it. I'm a much bigger fan of Bayley using, was it the rose plant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much, much better finisher for her.
I know. We got the table set up outside here.
Yep.
Well.
Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, the outside superplex would have been a great spot, but there's very little room to do that.
Yeah. And to her credit, Sasha probably would have taken it.
Oh, yeah.
She probably would have, yeah.
Yeah, she's gotta be fair. She would have taken it. Well, I don't think that table was supposed to break because I think Sasha was actually supposed to jump on her and put her through it. But
also, so that one broke, and then
then the next one goes into business for itself.
Listen very carefully to the sound that makes as it does not break. Because that echoed through the building, and I still feel it in my bones.
I can only imagine what that was like live, because I remember watching it on TV. I'm like,
I mean, if you want to be technical, it didn't break, but it just buckled.
Crumbled.
Oh. Yeah.
It's horrendous.
Oh, yeah.
You always find a way to gross me out, and this time you're making me relive something. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Also, let's not forget that this was like the perpetual state of a wardrobe malfunction for all the other, quote-unquote, other fans, where Sasha was in a perpetual state of a wedgie.
Yeah.
I was like on table number two.
Here we go, baby.
If you're going to wear tights that ensure you're going to be in a perpetual wedgie, make sure you hit the squats.
Yeah.
Because.
Now they're fighting over the table.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. You're not winning a test of strength with Charlotte.
No. Yeah. Which, again, another great spot.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right.
Getting down to the nitty gritty here, boys.
Yeah.
Boy.
And see, and then the way they did a spot where it made sense for Sasha to be down on the floor that long.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, because a lot of times they don't do that, and then the person is they're laying on the floor for 10 minutes, you know, and...
You just get dumped outside, and that's it.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, for some reason my equilibrium is off for 4 minutes.
Yeah. Now she's going for the... Oh.
Oh, boy.
See if she can get into the bridge for the figure eight. And there it is, but...
Yeah, but the chair.
Oh. Good counter.
Yeah.
So good.
Man, I completely forgot Byron Saxton was on commentary.
He was fun.
Yeah.
He was good. Like he was good for what it was worth, but I forgot he was on commentary.
He took Kofi's victory to a whole nother level.
Oh yeah.
He was so important in that moment.
He was.
That's one I'm gonna have to go back and watch again is Daniel Bryan and Kofi.
Yeah.
If we're the Mania 35.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back and watch that again. It's been way too long. These girls are wore out. Yeah. They are both so blown up right now.
With good reason.
Yeah.
At least they're blown up like 15 minutes into the match. They're not blown up like 2 minutes into the match.
Oh, yeah.
And also, aside from the, you know, that little spot of Sasha got a little break when she was setting up the table, like they haven't taken a lot of rest spots or.
Yeah.
It's going since, you know, before the bell rang.
Yeah, it's right. Been straight action since they both hit the ring.
Yeah.
I mean, Sasha had her little breather. Actually, Sasha had her little breather with the stretcher spot. But other than that, they've been balls to the wall.
Like, the only other break that you honestly get is the table spots where they get to set it up, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they've been, again, blown up for good reason.
And here we go. Charlotte's up first.
That's just laying on the table.
Yep.
Go.
And thank you for hitting her. So many to one table spot that they always pisses me off is when they just put them on the table. They don't wear them out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they just lay there for like a minute or so while they set up for the moonsault or the elbow drop or the leg drop or whatever they're doing. Charlotte's laying a couple of shots in here, wearing her out a little bit more. I like that. It's a nice little touch. Sasha's setting up her own gallows pole here.
Yeah, which interesting putting it up in the middle rope. It's been probably since this match happened where I've watched the match, but.
Yeah, I think the watching it live is the only time I've ever watched this match.
And the back buckling.
Yeah, call back to the beginning of the match.
Yeah.
Oh, splat.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's why it's not, And yeah, I think it was supposed to be
natural selection.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting.
Yep.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
I
think
they called an audible when that table didn't break.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds, dude. The sound going, hitting that table. Oh,
I can imagine.
All of us. I don't know if it came because I was watching it with on mute, but like I don't know if it came through. But
Plus the table going full Hulk Hogan of it doesn't work for me, brother.
Nope, not gonna happen tonight, fellas.
And I think they emphasized it on this where it's Charlotte. This was like her. She's 13-0 in pay-per-views at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think this is about. I think there's three more pay-per-views left, and then Bayley's the one that breaks that record.
And they did it Fastlane of all places.
Nah.
WrestleMania was the very next show. They could have just done it there.
They could have, but hey,
they should have done it there, and they did it fast lane.
What you gonna
do? We're gonna do it in Great Balls of Fire.
That would have been worse.
Great show.
What a terrible name for a show that actually turned out to be a really good show.
What was the main event? Wasn't it like Brock Lesnar versus Samoa Joe?
Yeah.
And Rusev and John Cena had a really good match on that show too. It was a good show. Like top to bottom, it was a really good show for such a shitty name.
I think Sasha had a match too, if I remember correctly.
Alexa Bliss, I think.
Yeah.
Sasha definitely had a match because I have a stupid meme that the camera caught her perfectly. That it's Sasha, and then right on her head around the ribbon of the arena is Eat Balls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it covers the GR for grave.
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha.
And it's just perfection. Yeah, the jokes were flying for that pay-per-view, as I remember.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like I said, right. I vaguely remember the fact that she had a match.
Yeah. Well,
that is going to do it, not only for our second watch-along, but for the 210th episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I want to thank you guys all for listening again. Hope you watched along with us. Hope you had as much fun watching it as we did. I'm going to go back around the room here and thank my cast of characters. Going to start off with our guest tonight, AJ. Sir, thanks for reaching out, man.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, when DWI says they're not going to do something, I have the itch to do a podcast, and I know you guys do it around the same time as they do for recording. So, yeah, it was great to be here. If you want to follow me, you can follow me all over the social media interwebs at PhenomenalAJB. That's AJB in all caps. Also, do not forget we are not just podcast galore on ChairShot. We are articles galore, sports entertainment, you name it. We got it on thechairshot.com.
Great plug there, buddy. Jason, sir, fun night tonight.
I had a blast, gentlemen. Thank you for helping me relive a fun pay-per-view I went to. And also remind me that I do like that Sasha Banks Mercedes lady.
Yeah.
Hopefully she, just does something different. Try something new.
Just keep an eye on the lighthouse, honey, and come home when you're ready. It's there for you when you're ready.
That's right.
From the Rob the Genius podcast. Mr. Rob, good selection tonight, sir.
Thank you, and it's always fun to gross Jason up with some blood.
Make me relive the sound of, Sasha Banks being smashed into a table that absolutely positively was not going to break, and the sound of her, spine cracking reverberated through TD Garden. Yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome,
again,
Jason.
We're here for you. You got to have them watch Great American Bash 05 with Eddie and JBL. That's all you got to do and see how the gross meter actually goes off.
Interestingly enough, I may have to go back and watch that because I kind of dipped out for a little bit from because my kids were born in 2005. So once I became a dad, all my extracurricular stuff kind of fell off to the side and wrestling was one of them. So there's a 5-year gap where I missed a whole lot of really good shit. So. And Rob from the Rob the Genius podcast, I think I said goodnight to you, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Well, I'm saying goodnight again because I've had a little bit of alcohol. I'm tired and we got to get out of here. I am again DJ. This has been the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network, where you can find us on thechairshot.com. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring. And we're out of here until next week. And we are.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Barney Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.